Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Kostas Paniotakis. He is a professor of sociology at New York City College of Technology at the City University of New York. Professor Paniotakis is author of the book Remaking Scarcity, From Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. Professor, great to have you on the program tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So as many of our listeners are aware, we've covered this quite a bit on the show in recent months. The Syriza Party, the coalition of the radical left in Greece, won a decisive victory in January in the Greek elections on a pledge to challenge the harsh Eurozone austerity measures imposed in exchange for a bailout of the battered Greek economy. And now we have negotiations that are being conducted between Syriza's Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras and European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, that are sometimes collectively known as the Troika. And Professor, I wondered if you would, for our audience, discuss some of the major obstacles there in the negotiations between the Greek government, the Syriza Greek government, and the Troika.
Yeah, I mean, Syriza basically, when it ran against austerity, it was running against the dominant strategy that has been used by European elites to deal with the current crisis. So as a result, it is seen as a threat, because if Syriza is successful in reversing austerity, then other countries, the people in other countries, might follow the example, and notably Spain, that has elections later this year, and where there is another leftist party similar in profile to Syriza. So this is seen as a threat by European elites, and that's why they're putting immense pressure on Syriza to continue the same policies. They're trying to make the economy scream, basically, by removing liquidity. So Syriza is now finding itself, in effect, continuing the austerity policy even before the negotiation has been concluded. And the pressure is such that their goal at this point seems to sort of ameliorate austerity rather than reverse it completely. So basically, what you have here is a determination by European economic and political elites to basically make it impossible for a democratically elected government to break with sort of free market fundamentalism of the neoliberal paradigm that prevails in Europe and beyond. I mean, they're trying to force Greece to run budget surpluses at the time when, unemployment is over 25%. It's crazy, and it's a program and a set of policies that has failed even by the admission of the International Monetary Fund, and yet they are, trying to push Syriza to continue these failed policies.
Thank you for that, Professor Paniotakis. There is pressure, as I read the press, there's pressure now to reach an agreement between Greece and the Eurozone before the end of this month to release some $7.2 billion, or I should say 7.2 billion euros in aid. Maybe you could describe for our listeners what's at stake here in these current negotiations before the end of this month.
Yeah, I mean, so in a more immediate sense, Greece needs this money to continue servicing its debt, to continue paying money it owes to the IMF, and later on in the summer to the European Central Bank. And it has not received money from, the European institutions for almost a year now. So it's really scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point, trying all kinds of innovative ways to, get the money it needs. And it's becoming harder and harder to continue servicing the debts and continue paying, salaries and pensions. So something has to give, and this is the reason for the increased urgency. And, you know, there is, if Greece cannot continue doing that, then it may have to default on its debt. And then, you know, it's not clear what would happen next. I mean, there is discussion that Greece might be pushed out of the Eurozone. And there are some people, you know, in Greece and even within Syriza that would argue that, you know, Greece might be better off exiting the Eurozone, in fact. I mean, what is what is being tested now is whether it is possible for Greece to reverse austerity policies within the Eurozone. And the Syriza government's, the Syriza's position before the election was that it was possible. But what has happened since the election, you know, sort of makes this proposition seem less less plausible. So at this point, Syriza will have to make its choice. Will it prioritize the continuation, you know, will it prioritize staying in the Eurozone or trying to reverse austerity? And the Europeans will also have to make a choice. I mean, do they want to risk, you know, what would happen to the unpredictable consequences of a Greek exit from the Eurozone? I mean, if that were to happen, basically this would send the message that the Eurozone, you know, that if one country leaves, then the question will be, then what the message this is this will send is that other countries might leave in the future as well. And this, whatever its immediate repercussions might be, in the long term, it would really weaken the Eurozone project. So the choice for the Europeans is, do they want to take that risk, or do they want to, you know, actually compromise with Greece? And then the risk that would involve is that, you know, other countries, people in other parts of Europe might be emboldened to also challenge this dominant strategy. So time is running out because Greece is basically running out of money, and that's why there is a sense of urgency and a sense that if there is an agreement, there has to be an agreement. That agreement must come in the next week or so.
Thank you for that, Professor. You know, before we get to the consequences of a Greek exit from the Eurozone, I thought I would ask you, describe for our listeners the conditions in Greece, the economic conditions that led voters to put the Syriza party in power, given the high unemployment rates, a real kind of erosion of the social safety net in Greece in terms of medical care and unemployment and pensions. Maybe briefly describe for our listeners, you know, what the conditions are that really changed the political situation in Greece.
Yeah, I mean, the consequences of the austerity policies that were imposed on Greece were, you know, socially and economically devastating. They can only be compared to the effects of the Great Depression on the U.S. The economy shrunk by 25%. Unemployment rate has skyrocketed to over 25%. It's over 50% for young people. Many young people can only, you know, find a job by going to live in Greece, basically, and many of the most educated and talented young Greeks do that. Poverty has increased dramatically. You know, the education system and hospitals, the healthcare system have suffered by, you know, savage budget cuts. And so there is a lot of poverty. It becomes more and more common to see people looking for food in the garbage. And the middle class, the Greek middle class, has been devastated. And of course, the Greek middle class was the backbone of the long-standing ruling parties in Greece, the socialists and the conservatives, who were resoundingly defeated in the election last January.
Thank you for that. And, it might be good now, before we get to some of the consequences of a Greek exit from the Eurozone, to talk a little bit about the parties in Europe that are also similarly opposed to austerity. Lay out for us the growing political parties in Spain, Italy, and Portugal, some states that have been subject to Eurozone austerity measures, and the likelihood that they may take power and similarly challenge these austerity measures as Greece has in the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, the most promising case, I think, is Podemos in Spain. It's a new party that grew out of the movement of the squares, the Indignados, in 2011. And at a similar time, around the same time, there was a movement in Greece as well, which helped to boost support for Syriza. So at some point earlier in the year, it looked like Podemos was the most popular party in Spain, according to polls. And the parties, the traditionally dominant parties in Spain were the Socialist Party and the Popular Party. And the Popular Party is the ruling party right now, and it has been discredited by many corruption scandals. But, I mean, most recent polls suggest that support for Podemos may have been subsiding a bit. So it looks like the political sort of scene in Spain will be drastically changed in the upcoming election, but it's not necessarily clear that as yet that Podemos will be as successful as Syriza and will be able to form a government. So this remains to be seen. Portugal also has parties on the left. They haven't been quite as successful yet. I think this may partly have to do with the fact that the equivalent of the socialists in Portugal, who, first implemented the austerity program there, and now they're under new leadership that is trying to be a little to distance itself from the austerity policies a little more. So we'll see how that goes. And in Italy, the left, Italy had historically a tradition of a very strong left, a strong communist party up to the 1970s. But more recently, the left in Italy has weakened significantly. I mean, the prime minister right now is Matteo Renzi, who's the leader of the Democratic Party, which is like a center-left party, but he's well to the right of Syriza, and even though he tries to moderate the pressure of austerity policies in Italy, he's open and he has adopted many of the neoliberal policies that the Europeans want to impose on across Europe, such as undercutting labor rights and labor protections. Now, another country where there has been a sort of rising anti-austerity sentiment is Ireland. So the Sinn Féin party there is has been rising, as it has been more critical of austerity than the other Irish parties. So Syriza was counting, when Syriza was elected, was counting that, was hoping that its election would prove a catalyst and Keynes sort of spearheaded a tide against austerity across the European continent. I mean, this has not materialized yet, but it may in the coming months. The problem is that, you know, there has to be an agreement between the Europeans and the Syriza government probably before any of these elections in the coming months. So so we'll have to see how, you know, what the sequence of all these events, how this, the sequence is very important, because if an agreement comes before these elections and this agreement involves basically Syriza capitulating, this will basically affect the outcome of other elections and discourage people from voting other anti-austerity parties in other countries. And I think that's part of the motivation of the Europeans to take the hard line they've been taking so far.
Right. We're speaking tonight with Kostas Panayiotakis, professor of sociology at New York City College of Technology, City University of New York. Professor Panayiotakis is author of the book Remaking Scarcity from Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. And we're talking about the Greek and Eurozone economic crisis and the negotiations ongoing between the so-called Troika and the Greek government of Alexis Tsipras of the Syriza party in Greece. Professor, I wanted to ask you about the consequences of a Greek exit from the Eurozone. If an agreement cannot be reached and Greece defaults on its debt and they leave the Eurozone, what do you suppose would happen in terms of the Eurozone officials' response to that? Are they concerned that the whole Eurozone would unravel if Greece exits, or are they quite confident that they can isolate the situation in Greece and with little effect on the other nations in the common currency?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there is agreement among the Europeans or among Syriza itself what the effects of a Greek exit would be. I mean, there are some Europeans and Germans who say, well, by now we have enough, we have built enough mechanisms that would allow us to weather the exit of Greece from the Eurozone. Greece is a small country, only 2% of the European economy, so we could manage it. But then there are others who argue that you know, this is a big threat to the future of the Eurozone, because it sends the message that, you know, if Greece has exited the Eurozone, that it's not that being part of the Eurozone is not an irreversible event for a country, so that other countries might do that in the future as well, and this would undermine the Eurozone in the long term. There is also a geopolitical dimension, and this is a dimension that perhaps the U.S. is even more keenly aware, as it often is with things like that, than the Europeans, that basically if Greece were to exit the Eurozone, it might get closer to countries like Russia and China that are seen as, you know, geopolitical rivals to the U.S. and to some extent to Europe. So that's one of the reasons, you know, the Europeans and the U.S. might not like the idea of Greece exiting the Eurozone. Now, how Greeks might see the effects, again, there's no agreement as to what the effects would be for Greece. There are some people who think that these effects would be devastating, and that in effect Greece would not be able to reverse austerity by exiting the Eurozone, but it would suffer an even more drastic collapse of its economy and find itself continuing the austerity policies. But there are others who argue that in this way, Greece would basically recover control over important levers of economic policy and recover competitiveness through a devaluation of its new currency, and that in effect it would be able to, you know, go against the sort of current policy paradigm that basically forces it to follow austerity forever. And that's true not just for Greece. It's true across the board in the Eurozone. I mean, one of the response to the crisis included the requirement of balanced budgets for all countries. I mean, when this was proposed in the U.S., this was all the even mainstream economists came out against it, basically saying that this is crazy, or that when you have a, you're in a time of economic crisis, your priority should be to spend money in order to reduce unemployment. And Europe, in this sense, is like from an economic policy point of view, is probably right now, you know, the most reactionary part of the advanced capitalist world, which is a reversal compared to the past when we used to think of Europe as the paradigm of welfare state and, you know, enlightened progressive policies. So there is a debate, you know, about the pros and cons of a Greek exit on both sides, and there is also there are different possibilities that as to how the Greek exit could take place. I mean, some supporters of the exit from the Eurozone within Syriza argue that at this point it might make sense to try to negotiate, to have a have a negotiated exit of Greece from the Eurozone, where the Europeans commit to providing support for Greece as it does that, in order to smooth the transition and to, you know, make the transition, keep the mitigate the short-term cost of the transition, since there would be such a cost. So in other words, it's a sort of a complicated question. There are different scenarios. I mean, there is even the scenario of Greece defaulting on its debt and not exiting the Eurozone. So there are different scenarios, and there are lots of uncertainties involved, and there are lots of debates on both sides of this negotiation, and there are different priorities in the negotiation. There are different approaches between the IMF and the European Commission, and all of these factors basically complicated the negotiation and helped to explain why, you know, this negotiation has been proceeding rather slowly.
Well, I appreciate all the detail there in terms of the various scenarios. It's we don't have time to really follow up on those, but maybe our next conversation we can talk about why, with the results in Greece of the devastation wrought by the austerity measures on, you know, public health and education and unemployment, it wouldn't be obvious that these austerity measures really have the reverse effect that almost anyone with common sense would want. And it's interesting that the Eurozone officials keep on this course regardless of the failure of these policies. But again, that's a conversation we'll have another time, Professor. I appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
That's Professor Kostas Paniatakis. He's a professor of sociology at New York City College of Technology at the City University of New York, and author of the book Remaking Scarcity, From Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy, and a discussion of the Greek economic and Eurozone economic crisis.